Do you ever feel like everything's going wrong? So if you look closely, I have a huge bruise here on my nose from 2 days ago. So first of all, I sprained my finger in November. In December, I was praying, oh Lord, you know, because we were involved a lot in the music on Sunday morning, and I didn't want to be sick. So Lord, please, you know, keep me safe. And I don't want to get COVID and all this stuff. And then I sprained my ankle. Yeah, but these are orthotics, don't worry. And I'm much better, praise the Lord. And then 2 days ago, I'm like my grandmother. I'm a klutz, and I don't know how I hurt myself. It's terrible. I don't know if anyone else is like that. And then my husband said, well, what did you do? And I said, I don't even remember. I knocked my nose so hard, boing, and I look in the mirror, and the bruise is about this long, and makeup didn't cover it yesterday. So today, maybe a little bit did, but yes. So things go wrong for me. I can be a klutz. Yeah, it's just, I'm human, right, guys? But good morning, and thank you for having me today. Share with all of you. Love you all. Let's just pray together before I get talking, because I don't want to say anything I shouldn't. Lord, thank you for this day, and we just bless your name, and we love you. We worship you, God. You are so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us just with Julia being here today. Bless her ministry, God. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, that she's right in the harvest. May you just bring more laborers and just encourage them, God. Do awesome things. Lord, that only you can do in your timing. Thank you for today, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would speak, Lord, through me, Lord. Help me to say your words, not mine. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm a very plain, I'm not a techie. So when they asked me, do you have slides? I said, one. So my husband's been so busy, so I didn't want to bother him to help me to send slides. So it's just going to be a lot of auditory learning today. And I'll try to use my hands. I'm not Italian. Sorry. But we've had lots of Italians in our lives, and I love them, and I love gnocchi. And I can make it since I was 10. By scratch. Okay. So when Sister Ruth asked me to speak, immediately I said, yes. And she said, you know what psalm? And I said, right away, I knew what psalm. And I was so excited. And I just started reading the book of Psalms. So it was just like right up my alley. And I did a little bit of background and research. The Psalms are up to 3,000 years old. And the word psalm means song, right? We know this. Some of this you've learned, but I just want to give a little background, and some of you that haven't been here, maybe I can help you out with this. And as I started to read the book, I started to keep track in my mind of all the Christian contemporary music songs that came from Psalms. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, sing unto the Lord, you know, clap your hands, O ye people, all the different songs. And so I was thinking about that. And as I was reading it, I was thinking, how is this text put to music? And here's a little background about me, some things you don't know. So when I was young, okay, so my parents had the motel. My dad built it. And my grandmother had one of the first motels in Sault Ste. Marie. Came from the Swedish part of Finland, yes, and she'd always say, I'm just an old scrub woman, Ruth, you knew my grandma, and so she, you know, wonderful woman of God, if I think about her too much, I'll start crying. So anyway, my dad had the motel, my mom went to work for my dad, she was from out west, and that's how they met, and so they got married, and for 7 years, they lived in the basement. No windows, one room. My mom begged for a child. Another 7 years. So it's kind of like, you know, the story with Leah and, you know, 7 years, 14 years, and they had me. So anyway, my parents were in the basement for 14. I was in for 7. So we're all in a one room, you know, living like that. And I wanted to play the piano so bad. Please, 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 I want to play the piano. I would beg. I heard my aunt Darlene, you probably know Darlene Kars, she was the director of the Pregnancy Center for quite a while, and so she played piano. I'd go over to her house, and I wanted to play so bad. So finally, they were able to buy the house next door to the motel. That's a whole other story. God worked that out. And then at 8, I was able to get a piano and took lessons and started to play and love that. And then my dad, he produces a radio program called Good Sounds on WISS for over 40 years. It plays early in the morning on Sunday. And so a lot of times guys from the plant or night shift workers, they're getting off, they're listening to the radio, they would hear his program. And so having that, we always had records, always had music. I mean, we had the reel-to-reel. So I grew up with like old stuff, Andre Crouch and all kinds of, you know, beautiful, oh, amazing, you know, the Archers, all the bands you're nodding. And so music was so important to me. I went into music, and that is where that's my expertise, is music. So my actual degree is sacred music, which is music ministry. I went down to the States for that. And so I have a Bible and a music degree. So it was different than what I could get in Canada at the time. They didn't offer anything like that. So that's why I went to the States, because I wanted to have the Bible knowledge, but also wanted to, you know, have the musical knowledge. So looking at the Psalms, I think of them as like prayers or, you know, musical texts put to the music. And some I hear were congregational hymns. Some were sung by temple choirs, that's Solomon. And they're expressions to God of praise, of sorrow, of awe of God and awe of nature, speaking to God directly or speaking about him and his attributes, wisdom, and imprecatory psalms. Now, imprecatory psalms are more calling God for judgment, or basically, you know, for avenging. And so I think of like how Job, how the struggle in that book, the honesty, Psalms is just so cool to have, because there's those expressions and cries for help. And here we are today in 2022, watching and waiting for his return. And us as a body, we need the encouragement. And in my darkest hour, in the hardest times, in the middle of the night, I would turn to the book of Psalms. That seemed to be something that I go back to. And Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And that's what we're doing today. We're speaking to each other in this manner. Coming from the musical background, this is interesting to me, and I don't know if you'll find this interesting, but there's different terms in the book that can refer to music, like a particular tune that was used, Psalm 92, a musical interlude, possibly a style, meaning contemplative or solemn, be accompanied by an 8-string lyre or a bass voice. Another one, a change in rhythm, and Psalm 71, or sorry, Selah, or Selah. Okay, we all have known that in the Psalms. To pause, to reflect, to some versions, they say, they might think back in the Hebrew, like they would say forever, or it could be praise. So it's a pause, and it could be a musical term, like we're pausing, like in, you know, when I teach music, fermata, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Joyce. That's a pause. Happy birthday to you. Okay, so that's like a fermata, we say. Yes. So when I was tracking through the Psalms and I was counting how many songs I knew, and I said to Ruth what one I was going to do, after I read Psalm 150, I tracked 46 that I knew personally that weren't bass, but were literally words coming into music. And I finished tracking, I got 46. And that's what I'm talking about today. Psalm 46. So God confirms his word. I was like, thank you, Lord. This is how I felt. This is what I have to talk about. So let's turn to Psalm 46. And sorry, there's no slide. I probably could have said, oh, let's stick it up. But so let's read it together. Psalm 46. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields, or another translation says chariots, with fire. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Sometimes you can't plan things. They just happen. And when I was driving the other day, I thought, I hear other speakers and how they have neat rhymes, you know, for their points, or they, you know, starts with a letter, and I'm like, oh, I tried that. Can I think of a letter for this? Can I think of a letter for this? Nothing was happening. And I was driving, boom, boom, boom. God just dropped it in my head. It was so cool. And I give him the glory. Point number one, we're going to start with the letter S, safe. God is safe. The Lord is our personal refuge. Here is the metaphor. We think of that as God being a strong shelter, an unconquered fortress, a walled city, unshakable. Psalm 91:2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. It's personal. He's my fortress. Martin Luther's hymn, Ein Festberg, in German, which is translated, a safe hold our God is still, is based on Psalm 46. And yesterday, when I was teaching theory, I was teaching about that hymn. It was in the theory book. Yes! I was like, thank you, Lord, again. Yes. John Calvin, when he translated the psalm into French, Psalm 46 was the first one he translated. When we have a refuge, we need not fear. And I think of the little acrostic, false evidence appearing real. I like that, and I keep that in my brain a lot of times. False evidence appearing real. You know, the only thing we should fear is fear itself, they say, but we need not fear. Now, at the beginning of this chapter where it says, for the director of music, so that's someone of significance, of the sons of Korah, they were the Levites, okay? And they were possibly alternating with other, like, temple choirs. And it says, according to Alamoth. Now, Alamoth is a musical term. Some translate it as maiden or high-pitched voices. So when you think about this psalm, how it starts, the refuge, the earth giving way, the mountains fall into the sea, high, high voices. You can even think of young children singing this. Like, what a paradox. They're just, there's a purity even with children when they sing. You know, an innocence. Even if the earth is collapsing, even if we are in an apocalyptic event where things are falling apart, we can have overwhelming peace. God's protection has no limit. We can stay in that state with the Lord of knowing He's our refuge, knowing He's our strength. The second point I want to bring forth is the word source. Source. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, verse 4, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God is the source. He is the source of life. He is the source of the church. He's the source and the center of it all. And we've learned, you know, a new song the last couple weeks, you know, Jesus be the center of it all. So I think about that. And here we have another picture, a word picture, a river. A river. Streams make glad, one version says, give joy to the city of God. And when you hear this psalm and you think about it, the city of God, where do you think the temple would be? The city of God, Jerusalem. Right. Now, there is no river running through Jerusalem. Jerusalem's on a hill. Okay. And it's a lot of rock. So the water's coming under. The river symbolizes the presence, the very essence of God's presence. And in New Testament terms, some people translate that as the Holy Spirit, the river moving. I think of the scripture 16:11, you know, in his presence, this is paraphrased, is fullness of joy. It makes glad the city. And if you think of the city of God, we can also think of the people of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in his church, in us. And thinking again in New Testament terms, Jesus said, John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them. In the New Living Translation, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Again, Jesus is our source of life. He's the source of divine grace. And here we see in the city, the river flowing. And here in our lives, we can have that abundant life. You know, and I think growing up too, I heard a lot of messages about, you know, eternal life for later, but it's also life for now. We can live with abundant life. We can live with joy because Jesus is our living water. He's the one that fills us. He is the source. He is the one that gives us the strength from day to day. That abundant life. Ezekiel 47, if you get a chance, take a look at that. Because Ezekiel gets a snapshot of the river in the temple, and he talks about how the river is starts at his ankles, it goes up to his knees, and then he can't stand anymore. He's swimming. Like, how cool is that? Revelation 22:1. And he showed me, John says, a river, showed me a river of life, bright as crystal. Wow. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Again, this is eschatological, or, you know, in the future, or probably now and in the future and forever. He is our source of life, divine grace. I don't know if you know the hymn, Like a River Glorious. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. And that brings us to our third point. The last S is still. Still. Rest. Stop striving. Stop striving. We can be sure God's at work. Come and see the works of the Lord. Look at the testimony Julia gave today. Come and see. What is God doing? In the midst of all this craziness in our world, God is at work. God is at work. Believe it. Believe it. Know it. Know that he is God. Be still. He has the ultimate power over wars, the ultimate power over the earth. He is exalted above all. Therefore, don't fight. We don't need to fight. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And this is when Moses, they were trapped. Okay, remember, the Egyptians are on their tail. The Israelites are there. They're looking at the obstacle ahead of them. And this is what the Lord says. Don't fight. I'm going to give you the victory. That being said, they had to keep moving. And so once he put his staff in, the river parted, they went through. Sometimes we use our brains too much. We get too cluttered in our thinking. Sometimes we just have to be still. We have to know. Chuck Swindoll, when I was looking what he had to say, he has a whole book on the Psalms. I don't know if you knew that, Ruth, but interesting. I like good old Chuck Swindoll. He's so calming. He's just like a grandfather, you know, to me. The words be still and know are in the Hebrew imperative. And that's fairly strong language. It's almost like a rebuke. You know, when your kid's jumping around there and, you know, it's time to be quiet. Hey, enough. I have a puppy, so it's like, hey, sit. Okay, you know, sometimes God has to, like, so God keeps me on a short leash. I'll tell you this, okay? He does. And so when I do or say something, it's like, that's, I'm not supposed to. He doesn't let me go far. And then I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, that I have to go apologize. So I don't get away with much. I'm just telling you, I'm held to a, yeah, short leash. This is a rebuke. Be still. Hustle. Isn't that the word today? Hustle, hustle. Everyone's happy. They're hustling, hustle. What are we rewarding people for? Busyness and hustling and moving. Really? Again, stop the grind, the everyday go, 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 go. And I think, I wonder when the Lord says, be still, maybe it's so we can hear. Elijah ran away when he was threatened by king or the queen, Jezebel. He goes off to a cave and he is malnourished. And the Lord sends protein. Sometimes we need protein when we're low. Okay, ladies, we do need a lot of protein. I'm a health nut. Elijah, he complains, and the Lord commands him to stand on the mountain. And here comes the wind that broke rocks, the earthquake, and the fire. And there was no voice in those. Could not hear. But God, he spoke in a still, small voice or whisper. What's our job in the middle of all this busyness? What are we supposed to be doing? What are we here for on this earth, you know? Again, to worship. To worship. Even when Job was in his trial, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. There are so many frequencies out there right now that are coming our way. Different programs, different news, different this, different that, inundating our minds. The notifications on the phones, this, the phone, so much noise. But can we tune in to God's frequency? Can we tune into what he is trying to say? He wants to know us personally. He wants to love on us. He wants us to crawl on his lap and just be still. Be still and know. Be still and know that I. Be still and know that I am God. Maybe take some time today and think about how you can be still. Or maybe you have lots of quietness in your place. You know, and being still isn't a problem for you. Well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Woo, great for you. We are in the days of, I believe, refocusing. You know, what really matters, what's essential. I don't know about you, but I've been overwhelmed. I have been overcome with fear about what's happening. I've been, my eyes are just completely, you know, off the Lord and onto the circumstances. And yet, God tells me, like, stop it. Like, don't fight. Don't get into it. Be still. Twice in the psalm, it says, the Lord Almighty is with us. Think of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He came, and then he sent his Holy Spirit that lives in us. Like, this is awesome. 1 Peter 2:5, you are living stones built into a spiritual house, holy priesthood. We don't have to go to somewhere else to find the answer. We can go right to the Lord himself. We are living stones. And 1 Corinthians 3:16, we are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. The river is in you. And also in 2 Timothy 1:14, the Holy Spirit dwells, lives in us. If God is for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? I think if we really, really believe, we know, we believe, we trust, we have faith, we can be just on the solid ground, the rock in the fortress. Briefly, I'll share, there was a time in my life where I was doing too much. I was on the verge of a breakdown. I had so many balls in the air, lots of ministry, okay? Lots of things, running this, doing this, doing this. And a lady came up to me, a fairly good friend, and she chastised me. See, I told you, I'm on a short leash, but I went a long ways where I was doing too much and I was on the verge of burning out. And she said, Suzanne, you are not spending enough time with the Lord. Yes, she did, just like that, in a loving way. And I stood there and said, you're right. I can't give what I don't have. And I was giving to the point where there was nothing left of me. And so I was like, Lord, you know, forgive me. And she said, you have to take the time in prayer. You have to let things go. You have to learn how to say no, boundaries. It was so good. And I was really encouraged. Like, you know, God disciplines those he loves. Why don't we like discipline? We don't like it. When somebody wants to give you a little, we don't like it. Or we'll say, we'll discredit them as the source. Oh, well, they have that sin in their life, so I don't need to hear what they say. You know? So if you want a little encouragement or a kick, come see me. I'm good like that. But I do it in love. But seriously, we need each other in all the gifts. We're eyes, ears, legs, feet, every part of the body working together for his glory. And we do so need each other, don't we? Even in this pandemic, what's happening here right now, even more so. We need that encouragement. So I did land up letting go of quite a few things. And then God took me and stripped me from all of those things. All of those ministries I was involved in, I was put on a shelf for a few years. We even, Dean and myself and the kids, we had quite a struggle to the point where we had to step away even from church for, I don't know, was it 2 years? It was a detox almost. God had to rid and clean and work and heal. And I went to a ladies' conference. This was back, I don't know what year this was, with a friend, Jocelyn, Stephanie's cousin. And I went and I worshiped and I just laid my heart before the Lord and I was healed like that. Amazing. Just a few moments with the Lord is better than wasting time, you know, just a little, and he healed me. And God is good. I can stand here and encourage you and just walk in that. I guess one thing I didn't share was the theology of this psalm, Charles Spurgeon said, is holy confidence. What you shared. Holy confidence. We can walk. We can sit, stand, run, whatever, wherever you are, whatever God tells you. He wants us to be obedient, loving. So we have the three S's. God is safe. God is our source. And because of that, we can be still. Selah. Thank you.